Like Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Audrey Nowakowski.
And I'm Bonnie North. The Simpsons started off as a series of drop-in shorts during the Tracy Ullman show in 1987. By 1989, the animated sitcom began its own run, and it has recently been renewed through at least 2019. It's the longest scripted television show in history.
The satirical show, with its characters including Marge and Homer, Bart, Lisa, Krusty the Clown, and Mr. Burns, achieved cult status years ago and has itself become a cultural touchstone. References to The Simpsons can be found in other TV shows, video games, books, and plays.
Milwaukee's Luminous Theater is about to open Mr. Burns, a post-electric play, and as the title suggests, The Simpsons play a key role. Lita Hoffman directs Mr. Burns, and James Carrington is one of the acting ensemble, and they join me in the studio now. Lita and James, welcome to the show.
Thanks.
Thank you for having us.
So, Lita, I would like you to set up this play, if you would, because I figure it's safer for you as the director to do this than for me, like, maybe giving things away that I shouldn't.
Okay, so Mr. Burns is a play that takes place in three acts. It's called a post-electric play. So it takes place after the electrical grid goes down. We're in kind of an apocalyptic feel. And the first act takes place just a couple months from now. There's a group of people around a campfire. They're all away from their families, sort of as the world has ended around them. And what do they talk about? Well, they talk about The Simpsons.
Naturally.
Naturally. Yeah. So they talk about a Simpsons episode. And then the play jumps forward in the second act. 7 years from then, this same group of people has become a traveling theater group. And they're putting on live Simpsons episodes because, you know, TV doesn't exist anymore. And this is what people are doing for their entertainment. And then we jump 75 years in the future after that. So the people we've followed in the story are gone. The actors play some of the characters 75 years later. And then you have this mashup of all sorts of different elements of pop culture in something that is based on the Cape Fear episode of The Simpsons, but is really part operetta, part musical, part play, part allegory about good and evil and love and hate and how society and people persevere.
And just when you think about how art evolves over time, I mean, what Shakespeare would have done when Shakespeare was alive and what we do, you know, it's probably not the same thing.
Exactly.
And it's like absorbed. We might have some text and we might have some things, but things have shifted because we have.
Right. And it's all about what things does a society hang on to tell those stories, to investigate the big questions of life. And that's what Shakespeare was doing. And arguably, that's what the writers of The Simpsons are doing. It's what Anne Washburn is doing writing this play. We're just grappling with these questions just in some very different ways.
So, James, you are...
I play, well, in the future, I play a character, Scratchy, from Itchy and Scratchy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I'm kind of his henchman, his assistant. Yeah.
Okay, who are you in the earlier parts?
I guess you could say my main character is Matt. I play the character of Matt. Matt is kind of the most Simpsons knowledgeable person of the group. He loves The Simpsons. He knows a lot of The Simpsons. He's kind of their dramaturg, if you're into that.
I love the idea of being a dramaturg for The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, that's just wonderful.
You need someone who knows, who can quote it kind of quick, who knows most of the characters, and that's kind of Matt's role in the beginning. And it blossoms into something else in the second act, like Lita said, and in the third act, we're...
So you're really the keeper. You're the keeper of the tradition, the beginning.
Yeah, that's kind of how it starts off. Yeah. He kind of starts off just trying to bring everybody together by something that most people know. And he, is kind of the keeper of the Simpsons tradition for this little group. And but he tries to get other people involved, too, because he recognizes that other people need that, too. And they know it, too. And he loves that. And he's just trying to bring it all together for this group trying to survive in the middle of the street, in the middle of the night.
And you're curating it in a way, sounds like.
Kind of.
Which is really kind of a cool thing. Now, I have to ask, were you a Simpsons fan before this show?
I loved The Simpsons as a kid. Me and my sister watched it all the time, every night at 6 o'clock on Channel 24. It drew my parents crazy. They hated it. But we watched it all the time. We would quote this episode all the time. So it's funny, I didn't watch it in years before I got cast in the show, But reading the script, I was like, oh my gosh, yes.
I know where this is.
Yes. Yeah. This was one of my favorite episodes. But yeah, I loved The Simpsons.
Lita, did you know that about him?
I didn't.
No, that's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, James could come into his audition for Matt as this guy who was really excited and had all this enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. I've been watching James, you know, post all these Facebook pictures of just, you know, screenshots of The Simpsons and in this episode and all this different stuff.
I've been slightly obsessed.
Yeah, well, you know, and you mentioned social media. Of course, that doesn't exist in this play. I mean, or it ceases to exist.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like we've shifted in this play to a very different way of being.
Yeah, and there's a whole new way of communicating. And there's actually a line 75 years later, so that's 82 years from now. There's a line in the play of, you know, if we had a telephone, it would only ring and ring. But this idea that there's no one to call and that telephones don't even exist. So the way of communicating is entirely different. So the imagined audience of Act 3, you don't really, you don't get a lot of hints in the play about who they are. But to me, the imagined audience of Act 3 is this very strong, tight-knit community of people who are always coming together for this kind of ritualistic performance once a year. They don't communicate in the ways that we do now. They're an entirely different society. And the idea of, too, that town, that community, your tribe, of a lot of, you know, this performance troupe in Act 2 is very much a tribe. That becomes even more important the more you have to communicate with just the people in proximity to you.
Well, and it's interesting that it comes together once a year because that's almost like the Greek festivals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
so
what
inspired
it. So
she's harkening back.
Yes.
Oh, is that what she... Okay, I wondered because I don't know much about her.
Mm-hmm.
And now, is she in Chicago? Is that where she's based?
I think Anne Washburn is based right now in New York. She had a play in Chicago, 10 out of 12, running at Theater Wit, which is where I originally saw Mr. Burns.
Okay.
The play had its world premiere about 5 years ago at Woolly Mammoth Theater Company and then moved to Playwrights Horizons in New York City.
All right, because it sounds like a Woolly Mammoth thing.
Yeah, exactly.
It really does. So challenges for you, James, as an actor. What do you find most difficult about doing this?
A lot. This play is a beast of a play. It, like Lita said, it does everything. Just from her description before, you go 82 years into the future. So trying as an actor to wrap your mind around that is huge. And then the first act is very conversational. We're just talking. So it's a lot of lines, trying to remember all those lines, trying to set the vibe. The second act, we start incorporating music and dancing, trying to do that as an actor. And then the third act, trying to play a character as a character for a different audience, but also for the audience attending your show. You're just trying to wrap your mind around it. And it's huge and it's crazy, but it's so rewarding. And I think the cast is so up for the challenge because we really love the piece. And we think it's cool. We think it's weird. We think it's crazy. And we just want the audience to fall in love with it as much as we have fallen in love with it. So it's a huge challenge. It does everything you want to do in the show. And I'm trying to do it.
So, Lita, one of the things you have done at the Rep and you're doing in your own private, you know, directing career, looking for new work.
Mm-hmm.
Is this kind of play the future of American playwriting, or is this just a particular branch?
I hope it's one aspect of the future for sure. One of the reasons I love it is I just love plays that ask these big theatrical questions. They don't have to be about theater in the way that this one is, but that use these different elements of theater. I mean, this is a play with music and dance and sword fighting and heightened text and incredibly realistic text and all of these things smashed together to come to this big conclusion. It's also a play, too, that in terms of its the people represented in this story, it feels like an everybody kind of play. I mean, there's such a joy in the casting process that there's flexibility with the age of the actors in this play, the race of the actors in this play. What does the future look like? And I think Mr. Burns can put forward, too, a world in the future in which, you know, there's gender balance in this play. The Simpsons are yellow, so the Simpsons can be people of any race. You know, they're cartoon characters. So there's a future imagined as Anne Washburn in this show that is really quite an inclusive future of people who come together, people who have big dreams for the future. And I just love the ensemble nature of this show. There is no star. It's a group of actors all coming together to make something happen.
And interestingly enough, of course, what precipitates all of that is the destruction of our society as we know it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yes. It's like we have to, like, level everything first before we can get back to almost like an Eden.
Exactly. Yeah. And there's this question, right? So what, you know, what happens if everything is leveled? What will people do? And you get these hints in this show in the distant future that, yes, evil still exists and danger still exists, but the family structure, you get the Simpsons become this metaphor for family, and mm-hmm. the love between Homer and Bart is the symbol of the love between fathers and sons. And we have this idea that, yes, in the future, people will come together, that when things are hard, dangerous, hard things happen in this play, the loss is enormous, and yet somehow hope perseveres.
And well, James, I hope I will see you across the desk from me again at some point.
I hope so, too.
Yeah. This is great. It's been a pleasure meeting you because you're an actor I have not met yet.
Yay.
So it's just terrific. Well, now we have.
Yay.
And Lita, always great to see
always
you.
Good to see
always
you
good to see you and to talk to you and break a leg.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Lita Hoffman is the artistic director of Milwaukee's Luminous Theater. She's also the director of their production of Mr. Burns, a post-electric play. It runs through May 8th, and there's more information at WUWM.com.
You can hear more interviews like this one by visiting the Lake Effect page at WUWM.com.